Glynis Crook. While we spent the past few months shivering in our boots here in Cape Town, the Northern Hemisphere was experiencing its hottest summer since records began. The European Union's Copernicus Climate Change Service reported that for June to August, global temperatures were over half a degree Celsius above historical averages. And it warns that this heat increases the likelihood that 2024 will outrank last year as the planet's warmest on record. I'm joined now by Professor Guy Midgley, Director of Stellenbosch University's School for Climate Studies. Morning, Professor. Thanks for joining me on the program. If one looks at all the climate records that have been broken over the past 18 months, the outlook seems pretty dismal.
It is indeed, and thanks very much for having me. Partly this is because we've seen really record-breaking temperatures in sea surface temperatures. And much of the sea surface has been in a what's called a heat wave condition for many, many months over the last year or so. And indeed, 2024 was predicted to be warmer than 2023 towards the end of last year because of this phenomenon.
But I believe that despite the fact that El Nino has faded and we're expecting La Nina to arrive, I've read somewhere that it's unlikely that sea temperatures are going to cool as much as we think they will.
Well, that's true. And we're struggling now with the issue that the oceans, which normally are a very, very good absorber of energy, are not in an absorbing state. And, we don't know when that's going to switch around again. And hopefully La Nina will bring us some respite. But yeah, we're going to have to wait and see. But it's not going to happen in time, I don't think, for 2024 to cool down enough to not hit this record.
Out of curiosity, I was thinking about this last night. How long do we actually have to have surpassed this 1.5 degrees Celsius milestone before it changes from just being another temporary breach to this is it, we've passed it?
Well, how long's a piece of string? It depends who you are. Yeah, certainly breaching 1.5 for a year or two is not an indication that we've breached the long term. You know, we've breached it for long term. And I don't know where the WMO and other, official organizations set that limit, but I would say roughly at a decadal scale. If we're over it for 10 years, maybe that would be seen as having breached it. Yeah.
If you just think about the news that they've been over this past 6 months, really, there's been floods, fires, heat waves, rising sea levels. Never mind the health, economic impacts, the deaths during the Hajj. Why is there not a greater sense of urgency from governments, but also from individuals about climate change?
Well, it's amazing how fast human beings adjust to new conditions. So we continuously adjust our baseline expectations of what life's going to be like. It's only when you look back at the records, and that's why records are so important, that we see, we see how radical this is. But it is hitting people hard, and some countries harder than others. There are losers and worse losers. I'm not sure how many winners there are. But we're in the age of consequence at the moment. We definitely entered the age of consequences.
Every year, COP agreements, we don't seem to move forward. Is there any hope that something can be achieved if we don't all act together, all nations?
I disagree that we haven't moved forward. The COP process, the UNFCCC process, has been absolutely vital in moving the world forward. There's been a lot of progress towards many all nations signing up onto various pathways and with their commitments, etc. And without the COPs, who knows where we would have been? I've run a few hand-drawn projections, and I think we've probably saved ourselves at least 10 years through the COP agreements. That's just very, very rough. So we bought ourselves possibly another decade, if you look at the projections from the early 2000s and how they've moved out. This is just my simple self-linear projections from some of the early 2000 graphs. So let's not deride the COP process. It is the only thing we have, and it has been severely undermined by a group of really poor global leaders who have pushed the world into divisive territory, Putin and others. So, yeah, we've got to come back from that as fast as we can and get back on track.
So what do you think needs to happen now?
Well, the process has got to work much faster, and countries need to stick to their commitments. And we need to bring the fossil fuel interests into the fold as fast as we can.
Including here in South Africa, I should imagine. Thanks to Professor Guy Midgley, Director of the School for Climate Studies at Stellenbosch University. And that's it for this week. From me, Glenys Crook, take care and goodbye.
Being Green was brought to you by Galinda Moser of RE/MAX Living.
For Galinda Moser, founder of RE/MAX Living, life is all about people, their homes, the environment, and of course, music. Because of Galinda's passion for property, RE/MAX Living has become the largest property office in Cape Town. When selling your home, email Galinda at remaxliving.co.za. As your trusted property partner, RE/MAX Living is by far the best way to sell and buy real estate. RE/MAX, the leaders in real estate.